Take your Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 21. We will finish out the chapter, Lord willing, this morning. John 21, verse 15 is where we will begin the text for the message. Last week we looked at the first part of the chapter and we talked about waiting, how the disciples were to be waiting for Jesus in Galilee. And they got a little impatient while waiting for Jesus to come. They returned to something they felt comfortable doing and something that they had done for many years of their life, and that was to go fishing. But they had a very unsuccessful night. They fished all night and caught nothing by the morning time. But on the shore, as they were casting their net, perhaps thinking for the last time, they saw the figure of one on the shore. They didn't recognize who it was, but of course it was Jesus. And he told them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. They did, and they enclosed a great number of fish. The Bible tells 153 fish filled the net, and yet for all that, it was not broken. They realized it was Jesus, and they came to shore and invited them to eat the breakfast with them, with him that morning. You can only imagine the joy of the fellowship that they had with Christ that day as they sat on the shore of Galilee, eating that bread and fish that the Lord had cooked. It must have felt like old times, as the saying goes, as they sat and ate with the Lord. Something that they'd missed for the last week or two, and yet here they were able to do that once again. They must have been filled with questions, though. What's going to happen next? Lord, why did this have to happen this way? And all those things that must have filled their hearts and minds. With the net full of fish in the back and a boat in the backdrop as well, as they sat upon that shore, the conversation turned to one of the disciples in particular, Peter, and some questions that the Lord had for him. Personal, pointed questions, we might say. The answers to those questions about Peter's love and devotion would lay out the future for Peter, for the disciples, and for the church. Those same questions could be well asked of Jesus' followers today, and again, the answer to them will determine the strength and direction of individuals and also of the church. So this morning, as we consider this portion of Scripture, I entitled the message, Do You Love the Lord? John 21, verse 15, it says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can come this morning. We thank you for your word that we have open before us. And Lord, a story that took place many years ago, and yet the question that is asked, not once but three times, is a question we could well be asked by you this morning, and I pray that by your Spirit you would ask that question to each of our hearts, and Lord, that we would consider before you our love for you this morning. May we answer it as Peter did, with an affirmative, yes, Lord, we love you. And Lord, perhaps through this message this morning we'll see more, that we need to love you more. And Lord, that as we love you, your plan will unfold for our life. And Lord, you reveal that to us, which you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we would not put the things of this life and this world before you in our love and devotion. But Lord, may we indeed love you with all of our heart, strength, soul, and mind. And so, Lord, bless this time, I pray, around your word, and may it be a precious time, and Lord, a time that would honor you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think, first of all, this morning about the question in verses 15 to 17. The questions could well have been posed to them all, but Jesus specifically asks Peter this question this morning. Lovest thou me? It seemed like a simple enough question, didn't it? Peter, do you love me? There could have been no doubt about that earlier, because we read in Luke chapter 5 that Peter had forsaken all and followed Christ. We'd say, well, he must have loved the Lord because he forsook all and followed the Lord. He had said not too long before this question was asked that he would never deny the Lord, that he would be willing to die for Christ, but he would never deny him, even if everybody else did. And so this question being asked, we'd say, well, that would be a no-brainer to ask Peter. Of course, we know that he loved the Lord. But though he meant well, that love and devotion had been called into question by his denial of Christ. Perhaps from Peter's side, there was a sense of being let down by the expectations that he had made in his mind about what Jesus would be and what Jesus, who Jesus was, and he felt a little bit let down. He was afraid, he was fearful, and of course he had denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times in those final hours of Jesus' life. And so now there was a question. Jesus knew the answer already, but Peter needed to think. Did he love the Lord? And did his love, was it demonstrated in his life? I wonder if the Lord may have occasion to ask us a similar question. Does our life demonstrate a love for God and what he loves? We do well to ponder our love for the Lord. Well, could he ask this morning, lovest thou me? You say, but why should I love God? Why should I love the Lord? Why would that question be asked? Well, the Bible tells us, Jesus, quoting from the Old Testament, of course, where it's written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. We're commanded to love the Lord. Can we really love on command? Well, yes, we can, because love is a decision. Love is a choice. But why would God ask us, command us, to love him? Well, the Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. In 1 John 4, verse 19. Interesting, isn't it, that those words were penned by the Apostle Peter, inspired of God, who also wrote these words in the story that is before us this morning. And he said, in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated his love to us, leaving no doubt about it. There's no doubt about the love of Christ for us, because the Bible says he demonstrated it by dying upon the cross for us while we were yet sinners. He gave his life. And Jesus had said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And they proceeded to tell them that they were his friends. Peter, do you love me? I just laid down my life for you. Christian, today, do you love the Lord? He laid down his life for you. We should love him because, yes, he commanded us to. He demonstrated he first loved us, but we should love him because his many blessings to us. He has blessed us in incomparable ways. Everything we have comes from him. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Should not we love him for what he has done for us in blessing our lives so greatly? You may remember the story of Jesus being invited to the home of Simon the Pharisee, not Simon Peter, whose name is, of course, here in our text, but Simon the Pharisee. And whilst they were at dinner, a lady came in with an alabaster box of ointment and broke it, and she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair and with the tears that poured from her eyes. Simon was a little indignant, thinking, how could that be that this the Messiah, so the one who claims to be the Messiah, would let this woman, who is not a righteous woman, come in and touch him? And Jesus said, Simon, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to tell you a story and ask you a question. And he told a story, and he said there was a man that had two that owed him some of money, and the one had owed a little bit, and the other owed a great sum. And he frankly forgave them all their debt. He said, Simon, which of the two do you suppose loved that man more? And Simon said, I suppose the one to whom was forgiven the most. And Jesus said, thou hast rightly answered. And this woman, whose sins were many, has been forgiven much, and she loveth much. So it is in our life, we need to look back, say, lovest thou, the Lord says to us, lovest thou me? Say, Lord, well, yeah, I love you. Do we love him? Do we realize what he's forgiven us of? Do we realize the great price that he paid for us? Oh, how we ought to love him greatly. Say, well, I wasn't such a bad person. Well, if you think, well, I wasn't such a bad person, your love for the Lord may be somewhat less. But if you realize that we're all in that state of sinners before a holy, righteous God, and all of our sin was that which would send us to a place called hell. And Jesus has forgiven us of all that. If we realize what he's forgiven us of, will we not love him much? Sometimes we just need to stop and think how much we've been forgiven by him. The question was posed, Simon, lovest thou me? Could well be asked for us this morning, couldn't it? Lovest thou me, the Lord would say to us. But Jesus didn't stop there. The first question, the first time he asked the question, he said, lovest thou me more than these? There's a comparison. More than these. More than what? You see, our love can be a relative thing, can't it? Because we can love more than one thing. I love my wife. I love my children. So lovest thou me more than these? Not like love can only be focused on one thing. So Jesus said, okay, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter wants to know not just if, or Jesus wants to know rather not just if Peter loves him, but how much Peter loves him. But what does that phrase, more than these, refer to? Well, we could say that there, what does it refer to? There's three possibilities as I would consider it this morning and as we would look at it this morning. It could be asked, Jesus could be asking Peter if Peter loves him more than the other disciples love him. Peter, do you love me more than James and John and Andrew and Simon or the other Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, Nathaniel? Do you love me more than these love me? Because you see, when Peter had said before to Jesus, though all men will forsake thee, yet will not I. What was he saying? I love you, Lord, more than they do. They may forsake you, but I won't. But he had been faced with his own failure in that regard. So Jesus asked the question, Peter, do you love me more than these? Can you say that now? He had failed the Lord just like they had failed the Lord. They'd all forsook him and fled. But Jesus could be asking Peter, do you love me more than you love those fellow disciples of yours? Do you love me more than you love your brother and your friends, these disciples, these followers of mine? Do you love me more than you love them? Is your friendship with them more important than your love for me, Peter? Remember what Jesus had said. Jesus said that if a man would follow him, he must hate others. Not hate them in the sense of despise them, but in comparison to their love for Christ, their love for others would be far less. Peter, do you love me more than you love these disciples? Or it could be that Jesus was asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than that net full of fish and that boat, that occupation that once you were employed with, that you said last night you were going back to, I go fishing? Do you love me more than the successes of life? See, there was a net full of fish on the shore, every fisherman's delight. It was a boat and some things that would represent his life. And Jesus could be saying, do you love me more than you love those things? And so for us who say we love the Lord, we would be faced with the question, lovest thou me, Jesus would say, more than these? No, we're not to compare our devotion with that of others, because the Bible says that we compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Yet we need to be careful, don't we, not to be as Peter seemed to be at the beginning, where he said, Lord, although they might forsake you, yet will not I. We can easily put ourselves in a position by saying, well, I love the Lord more than those people because look at the way I live my life and look what I do for the Lord. Could it be that that's what the Lord was wanting Peter to realize? That, Peter, don't set yourself up as thinking you're so much more spiritual than other people. Christian, don't set yourself up to say, well, obviously I love the Lord more than anyone else because look how much I'm in church, or look how much I do for the Lord, look how much I... Well, Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these? It's our focus that needs to be on Him. Do we love the Lord more than we love other people? In other words, are we so committed to Christ and loving Him that we will follow Him no matter what the fallout or the peer pressure? You see, we're very guilty, aren't we, of, well, I'll follow the Lord, but then if somebody lets me down, or if somebody, you know, really pulls me the other way and wants me to do something that they want me to do, then, well, I'll just follow along with them. And peer pressure doesn't end when you turn 20. You know, we talk about peer pressure as children and teenagers, but peer pressure doesn't end when you're done high school or when, you know, peer pressure is a thing of life. But the question is, do we love the Lord more than we love other people in the sense that we will not let other people and the things that they want stop us from doing what we know God wants us to do? Lovest thou me more than these? And then the question, do we love Him more than the blessings which He has bestowed upon us? What does it say in Romans chapter 1? One of the steps of degradation is they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. What happens in our life sometimes, God blesses us and He bestows many blessings in our life, and we get our eyes off Him onto those things. We say, wow, this is great. I love these things. Jesus would say to us, do you love me more than you love these things? Lovest thou me more than these things? Are you going to let the things of this life hinder your service for Him? I can't read these words of this text this morning without thinking the song. And perhaps you remember or may have heard the song that's written from these words. Lovest thou me? Modern times have brought us many comforts. People live in wealth and luxury, but the Master still asks this question, lovest thou me, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these, my child? What will your answer be? O precious Lord, I love thee more than all of these, more than fame, more than wealth, more than the world. Do we? That's the question the Lord asks, isn't it? Do you love me more than these? So what was Peter going to reply? How would you reply? Can you imagine being there? The disciples are there and they're met together, and Jesus is asking Peter, particularly pointedly asking, and seemingly there were seven disciples there, including Peter, so those six other men are there listening. What's Peter going to say? Peter's saying, what am I going to say? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. An indication of Peter's love. Thou knowest that I love thee. Lord, you know these things. You already know the answer to that question. You already know that I forsook all and followed you. You already know that I've pledged my loyalty to you. And the third time when Jesus asked it, he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. A little bit of a change, isn't it? Because remember when Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And Peter said, no, I'm not going to. Lord, you don't know me. Now Peter says, Lord, you know me. And you know everything. And you know that I love you. But Peter's reply fell a little short of Jesus' question, though. Our English words are the same, but two different Greek words are used for love here. Jesus had asked if Peter had a heartfelt, committed love for him, and Peter replied, yes, I have a brotherly, compassionate kind of love for you, Lord. Perhaps his failure to live up to his words previously made Peter a little reluctant to say, Lord, yes, I love you with that love that you desire me to love you with. Because he hadn't. He'd failed. He'd come short. He needed to search his heart. I wonder how we'd answer the question if the Lord asked us today in person, do you love me? He knows all things. He knows our hearts already. We say, well, Lord, you already know. So why does he ask? Is it not that he wants us to search our own hearts? To say, how is my love for the Lord? When he looks to us and he sees our heart, does he see a fervent love for him, or more of a casual affection, a more of a convenience-oriented devotion to the Lord that says, yes, Lord, I care about you. I think you're important in my life. I have that casual affection towards you. Jesus wasn't satisfied with Peter's reply the first time, we would say, from the human perspective, and so he repeats the question two additional times, making it three times to ask the question, lovest thou me? The Bible says that the third time that Jesus asked the question, Peter was grieved. You ever had somebody ask you something quite close together, and you've already answered it? And they ask you again, and they ask you again. Sometimes it gets us a little uptight. Maybe Peter might have been thinking, Lord, okay, I already answered. Why don't you ask James? Why don't you ask John? Why don't you ask some of these others how much they love you? Maybe just realize that he'd been trying to shrug off the answer and given the easy answer. The Bible says Peter was grieved. The word grieved means to be sad, to be in heaviness, to be sorrowful, and to make sorry. Why was Peter sad? Why was he grieved in that way when Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me, Peter? Maybe because it was a reminder of that threefold denial. Three times he denied. Now three times the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? Do you care for me? Perhaps it was because the third time Jesus asked, he used the same word that Peter used. Peter, do you really have that brotherly love for me?
Was he grieved by the fact that he hadn't answered, "Lord, I love you with that full, committed love"? Because he thought back to his life and how he'd failed the Lord and felt, "Can I answer that? Can I give that answer?" You know, it's easy to give a quick answer, isn't it? If I asked you this morning to raise your hands and I won't, say, "Do you love the Lord this morning?" We probably all say, "Well, yeah, I love the Lord." It's quick and it's an easy answer, we would say, but we got to go a little deeper than that, don't we? We got to really examine our hearts because the Lord already knows. Just like Abraham. "Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice Isaac." God had no intention of letting him sacrifice Isaac. God knew that Abraham wouldn't end up having to do it, but he knew that Abraham was willing to do so, and yet he still asked him to do it and got him to that point where he said, "Okay, that's enough. There's a ram caught in a thicket." But Abraham needed to see how committed he was to the Lord. And we need to see in our hearts, how much do we love the Lord? Because the answer to it gives a responsibility upon us. Because upon Peter's answer, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." In response to Peter's profession of love for the Lord, Jesus gives him a responsibility. We know that the analogy of sheep and shepherd is often used in the Scriptures, and it's often taught to us that the sheep represent the people of God and the shepherd represent the Lord. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep," and so on. In Psalm 100 verse 3, it says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And so Jesus is saying to Peter, "If you love me, then I have a responsibility for you to look after my sheep. Not to give them their breakfast, lunch, and dinner, their cereal and their sandwich and their supper, but to spiritually give them nourishment, to give them spiritual food to help them in their life." Peter did take that responsibility because we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he says to the under-shepherds, he said, "I exhort you to feed the flock. Take the oversight thereof willingly, not of constraint." He says, "Don't be lords over God's heritage, but to feed the flock." It's significant, isn't it, that Jesus gave this responsibility to Peter in response to Peter's profession of love and not before. You know, Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Peter, feed my sheep. By the way, do you love me?" Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Then, Peter, I have a job for you to do." Significant, isn't it? You say, why is that significant? Because I believe the basis of Peter's service had to come from his love for the Lord, from his heart, not just a duty that he was assigned to do. Why do you serve the Lord? Is it just because, well, I feel like I should? Or is it because I love Him and I want to serve Him and please Him with my life? Jesus spoke when He said He was the good shepherd. He said, "There are hirelings whose own the sheep are not, and they're there for the money. They're there for the pay that they get out of it." But Jesus said, He doesn't want hirelings. He wants people who care for the flock. The token of Christianity is what? It's love. To love one another, to love the Lord. That's the desire, that's what we're supposed to do as believers, is to love one another, to love the Lord first and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said, "Listen, if you're going to feed my flock, Peter, it's going to be based upon the fact that you love me. Not just upon some obligation that you feel like I have to." The Lord isn't looking for people who don't love Him to serve Him. See, I thought the Lord wanted everyone to serve Him, every believer to serve Him. Oh, He does. But He wants you to serve Him because you love Him. That wants that to be the motivation of your service. Service out of love is so much more powerful than that out of duty. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, mentioned it. I can't remember which message it was in, but we mentioned that. If we love and we do something because we want to and because we love the person, we're going to do that a whole lot better than if we're told to do something because we just have to do it. The Lord is looking for loving laborers to work in His fields, to feed His flock, to share the message of salvation. Will we serve Him because we love Him? Perhaps our service sometimes becomes stagnant and rigid, and we have to step back and say, I need to love the Lord first. He's done so much for me. And based on that love, we put that love and energy back into our service for Him. The question is, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, okay, Peter, then I have a job for you to do. I have something I'd like you to do. Because you love me, I want you to be involved in feeding my sheep. And then He calls Peter to follow Him. In verse 18 to 24, Jesus calls Peter, follow me. He starts by talking about the fact that Peter was a different man than he used to be. He said, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, verse 18, and walkest whither thou wouldst. Peter was one of those, we see Peter in the Gospels and we're introduced to him as that kind of person. He just says, hey, if it needs to be done, I'm just going to get up and go do it. That's what I'm going to do. I go fishing. I'll do what I want. I'm prepared. I'll go do it. In the past, his life had been all about himself. But Jesus said, when you're old, He says, another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Peter, things have changed in your life. You're no longer that person who just gets up and does what they want. Your life is going to be about others. You realize that God knows the length and manner of our days. He says to Peter, when you're going to be old, you're going to be... Other people are going to be taking you to places where you wouldn't necessarily go. For Peter, things were about to change, and serving Christ would not be an easy thing, because Jesus said it was spoken, or it says that John said this he spake, signifying the death, by what death he should glorify God. His life would not be in his own control and would ultimately be sacrificed for Christ. The Bible does not record the death of Peter specifically. But tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. He was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to die like the Lord died. And Jesus said through his death he would bring glory to God. Well, why did Jesus say that he would bring glory to God by his death? Wouldn't he bring glory to God by his life? Feeding the sheep, feeding the flock? Well, I'm sure he did. But Jesus said his life would end bringing glory to God. A martyr for his faith. We usually think about bringing glory to God in our life, and so we ought to desire to do so. But we need to recognize that a life lived for Christ also glorifies Him in death because of the testimony left behind. A willingness to give our lives for Christ is a testimony to our faith, and even more, it's a testimony to the Lord who saved us. In Philippians 1:20, Paul says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Committed to Christ. Peter was committed to Christ. Paul was committed to Christ, that whatever life came, they were committed to following the Lord that they loved. And Jesus said, you're going to glorify me in your death, Peter. Do we love the Lord enough to give our lives as Peter did, so that whether by life or death,
we determine to bring glory to Him. Jesus said, "You're going to die for me, Peter, but I want you to follow me." In verse 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Verse 19 ends, "Follow me. Peter, follow me." It would seem that physically Jesus was saying, "Peter, let's go for a walk. Come with me. Follow me." As Peter turned around and looked, he saw John also following. Spiritually, Jesus was calling Peter to follow him as he had done at the beginning. "Follow me and I will make thee to become fishers of men." To pursue Christ and his will for his life regardless of the outcome. But Peter sees John and says, "Oh, but Jesus, what about him? What's he going to do?" Jesus essentially says, "Peter, it really doesn't matter what John does. I've called you to follow me. Follow me. Don't worry about what anyone else does. Don't worry about what my plan is for them. I want you to follow me, Peter." "Peter, you just said you love me more than all of these. So whatever John does, it doesn't matter. I want you to follow me." You know, God's plan for every believer is different. But no matter what God has in store for another, it ought not to affect our decision to follow Him. Follow me. "But Lord, what about..." Don't worry. Follow me. We cannot let God's plan for others hinder us from His plan for us. But Lord, how come they get to stay here and not go to the mission field? And you want me to go over to the other side of the world and be away from my family?" Lord says, "No, follow me. My plan for you is my plan for you. My plan for them is my plan for them. Don't worry about my plan for them. You worry about my plan for you. Follow me." The saying went around that Jesus said that John wasn't going to die. Because Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" "Hey, if he doesn't die at all, what is that to you, Peter? Follow me." Jesus didn't say that. And John is sure to say here, this is not what Jesus said, but a reminder, we've got to be careful what we say, because how easily things can be misconstrued, even by well-meaning people, because this was reported amongst the brethren. But we conclude with verse 25, which reminds us of the Lord and all the things that He had done. John says, "There are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." What a full life lived by our Savior upon the earth. 3 years of ministry, and the world couldn't contain the books. He didn't let anything distract or hinder him from completing the ministry the Father had given to him. Just a reminder, isn't it? He's worthy of our love. "Lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." We aren't on the shore of the Sea of Galilee this morning. We're not on the shore. We're not in Galilee. We're in Cambridge, Ontario, in a church building. But today I believe the Lord is saying to us individually, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these?" As that song said, what will our answer be? Have you experienced His love for you in salvation? That's where it starts. That's where you get a glimpse of the love of God, where it begins to grip your heart. Christian, do you love Him enough to serve Him, whatever that may entail? Do you love Him enough to follow Him wherever He may lead? Do you love the Lord? Let's pray together.